Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Los perros esquimales están arriba. Y hoy, los patos de Oregón bow down to Washington.
Welcome back to the Dog Pod, your home for the Big Ten bound Washington Huskies. In our 11th year, we the original podcast covering UW football here by the fans for the fans. I'm with Mitch and Law Dog. We are going to recap the Dogs' opening week 56-19 dismantling of the Broncos at Boise State, go through those position groups, strengths, surprises, concerns, and we're going to go through that full Pac-12 slate and what happened 13-0, the undefeated Pac-12. So Lada, let's get into it. We kicked off the 2023 season. It was a 12:30 kickoff on ABC. High level, what do we see out there in the stands?
Yeah, well, it got off to a slow start, obviously. Teams trading three and outs. And then the Huskies actually came back and punted a second time. I think it must have been McAllister's busiest first quarter, maybe ever. Boise comes back, scores a touchdown on a 90-yard, 10-play drive to take the 6-0 lead. They shank the extra point. Then Huskies kind of get going here. Michael Penix gets going. But first, they start off to McMillan, you had 35-yarder on that drive. Then he gets the touchdown. Then the Huskies were really rolling. They ended up taking a 28-12 lead into the half. And then after the break, Boise kind of came right down with a touchdown, 4 plays, 75 yards, and cut it. I guess at that point they cut it to 28-12. But the Huskies really just poured it on at that point. And Penix ended up finishing with 450 yards passing, 5 touchdowns. And it was a rout in the second half. And the Huskies really dominated, ended up winning 56-19 and moving up to 8th in the AP poll, guys.
Wow.
Wow.
Unreal. A couple of those getting knocked off. So, hey, look, let's go through this. And I think this is one of those things where we'll probably talk about this a bit with Colorado or TCU. You never know early on how big of a win this will or won't be as you look forward. And I think last year, to be fair, we probably thought that Michigan State win was bigger than it was going to be at the time, right? Huge getting the program back on the right foot. But this was not a top 15 team that came into Husky Stadium. And everyone picked the Broncos to be the Mountain West champion. And maybe they will, maybe they won't be. I think this is like leave this thing TBD. Are we really that good? Or is Boise State, is this not the year that we think they're going to have? But let's get into this offense a little bit. Pretty decent, man. They put up 56 points, 490 through the air on 42 passing attempts, just 78 on the ground on 19 carries. Let's start with, the highlight, what everybody's talking about throughout the country, talk about those receivers and tight ends.
Yeah, I mean, super impressive guys. Roman Duzé goes 7 receptions, 132 yards, a TD. His TD was really impressive. He kind of out-muscled a DB. He was going to win a ball. But I think, the interesting thing about Rome is when you watch, he had a reception over the middle, which for significant chunk yardage, and he lost the ball. And he out-wrestled probably like 3 or 4 Broncos. Like, it was all white. The Broncos were wearing their white uniforms. And when I saw it, I groaned. I was like, oh, no, it's a turnover. And he got that ball back. He's like, I'm not losing that ball, which I think was just a really positive
thing
to see. Yeah, totally. I love it. Jalen Polk has a great game, 3 receptions for 101 yards, had a beautiful touchdown reception along a 33.7, along a 50 yards. Jalen McMillan doesn't crack 100, all right? 8 receptions for 95 yards, but oh my gosh, does it kind of all in this game. I mean, this was kind of the Jalen McMillan show, guys, with that
You got to count the 9 passing yards, Mitch. He's over 100 all-purpose.
That's right.
There we go, all-purpose. And then, him and Penix actually kind of were a little bit off on a couple routes. You could see them talking and kind of coming together. Yep. I wonder what that conversation was all about. But, man, those top 3 receivers just looked outstanding. But I'll tell you this, they weren't done. Jeremy Bernard in the fourth quarter, I went back and rewatched the tape. Wow, he looked especially good. And their depth is just outstanding. And then start Weaving in the tight ends, Jack Westover, 5 receptions for 59 yards, a TD, a really nice TD where he was open and coming up the seam. Cuevas had a really nice game, 1 reception for 31 yards from Demo, really nice touchdown reception, looked good, very athletic. Devin Kolb, a little bit quiet in this game, right? Only 1 reception for 5 yards, but you put this receiving core together with this tight end room, and it's going to be a fun year, guys. There's going to be a lot of video game-esque stats being thrown out there.
Let's see. There was a lot of open space out there on a lot of those plays, especially after the offense got going.
Love seeing Josh Cuevas get out there and a few others that, you know, just to see what they've got in the tank, but unreal. I don't know when we're going to see this trio, if not quadfecta, depending how deep you want to go, of receivers. Unreal. Just great. So Lawdog, let's talk about who's throwing the ball to him and maybe a little bit of Demo play as well. But how about that quarterback play?
Yeah, well, Demo got out there 1 for 1, 131-yard touchdown. Can't do much better than that. But, I mean, the story, you know, Michael Penix, Heisman campaign begins, 450 yards on 40 attempts, 5 touchdowns. And, I mean, you know, it just felt like he – once they kind of got going, because they did get off to a slow start, and that was really not the case at all last year. But once they did, it just felt like, you know, we're getting into the running game a little bit. Felt like they were trying to establish that run early. They were kind of wanting that to happen, but it just didn't. And they just said, ah, screw it. We'll just chuck it. This is what we know how to do. And, you know, they did. To your point about Boise State, BT, I mean, they were, you know, picked to win the Mountain West by virtually every publication. I think the Mountain West and they have taken a little bit of a step back since the Chris Peterson days. But at the same time, I mean, this is not a slouch. Everyone's upset pick of the day and upset watch and all that stuff coming out. And after the first quarter, it looked like, okay, maybe people are onto something. But, I mean, ultimately, this Boise State defense only returned 5 starters from a year ago. Mm-hmm. So, I mean – the fact that we weren't torching them early, I think, was the bigger red flag. The fact that we ended up hanging 56 points on them, I kind of think says it all. And Penix really had his pick. I mean, yeah, there were a couple of plays where there's miscommunications or kind of misses out there. But, I mean, other than that, he just looked pinpoint, especially on some of those deep balls.
It was nice to see. And look, we've seen other games where it's taken a little bit to get warmed up. And I do like when he's getting after some of the receivers, even getting after some himself. We saw that, you know, obviously talked about the miss that he had on J-Mac, and then he wants that thing back. But once he gets going, some of the beauty ones, even that floater that came over towards our seats to Jalen Polk, that, you know, that's not going to make a SportsCenter highlight. But the window that he's feeding that into is so tight and takes such perfect art to get to it. Look, enjoy it, man. It's a thing of beauty. Should we talk about the run game?
Let's do it.
All right. So look, I'm not going to bury the lead, man. This run game worries me. And look, here's what we saw. We saw a lot of guys get touches. We see in some garbage time, Sam Adams, Daniel got to get one touch. Jalen McMillan, he had a nice sweep on this one, but this was all about like Dylan Johnson getting his play, 12 yards on 6 carries with a long of 4. Will Nixon, 48 on 6 touches, so a little bit better, and he had averaged 5 yards after contact, which is nice. You know, this is tough. Dylan Johnson, he had 3 nice grabs for 20 yards, so he can still break out. I'm just going to say this. Look, Dylan Johnson isn't healthy. I don't have inside information, but we know he wasn't healthy in the summer. He's not cutting. He's not at top speed. You know, I don't think he was. If you look at the tape from Mississippi State, this is not the same Dylan Johnson. I think he's playing through some pain. We tried to establish the run early, and I think that was why we had those 3 and outs and those punts, right? Yep. We unnecessarily trying to establish it. We couldn't, and finally we just give up on it. We're going to need Tybo, I think. You know, let's see if that hype is what it's all about. He's back from the suspension. Maybe we have to burn that red shirt. Will Nixon, I think he needs to show that he can do this consistently against a Pac-12 defense. And Dylan needs to get healthy. I don't think it's all on them. I think some of the things I saw on the tight ends, I don't think they sealed very well. There was a lot of hands-on. It was like they were getting – running backs were getting touched in the backfield on things mm-hmm. that should have been getting sealed up by mm-hmm. the edge. And I think, look, on a Miles Gaskin, he's probably juked that guy out of his shorts anyway. Right. And the hand on him doesn't take him down. But these were guys that were getting slowed up by that paw getting on him. And so part of me, like the paw shouldn't have got on him in the first place. But this, I will tell you, this worries me. This worries me in a better secondary and a better, like, pass defense, a better rushing, a better edge rush attack from another, you know, Pac-12 team is going to come in here and say, run if you want, man. We're burying five and we're sending the house to get the sack. And this worries me. That's the only thing I'm going to say about the game. Otherwise, look, I'm ecstatic. It was 59 points. It was great. But this run game worries me.
Yeah, in terms of the blocking, I mean, you got to remember this offensive line gave up the fewest tackles for loss in the country last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we kind of glossed over it a little bit in the preseason, like, oh, we think, you know, some of these guys will step right in. Maybe that's going to take some time. Maybe it won't get back to that level. And in fact, maybe it's probably not going to get back to that level. But in this game, there was the sack early, but then there were six tackles for loss after that, which, you know, last year they were giving up fewer than three per game. So definitely allowed Boise State to make some big plays. And just kept kind of the offense, like, just coming a little bit from behind in those long situations, especially early.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we just have to see what's going to happen. I mean, what'd you think about, you know, what we just thought about? This is a new offensive line that came together. A lot of guys got a lot of touches. I think Parker Brailsford graded out really high. But is there anything else that you saw out there? Because it seemed like they were shuffling guys in and out. Like, we saw a lot of guys get plays.
I think they're going to do that all year. You know, mm-hmm. and I, we didn't really get a chance to talk about Brailsford, who, you know, won the job. It was kind of a surprise to most people, I'd say. But I mean, Bulow and was it Kaleppo were listed as either or at the left guard. So that tells me Brailsford's their best guard, right? Mm-hmm. The other two are fighting to get on the field. So I think, you know, this is game one. He's a freshman. So, you know, we'll let that play out. I think they probably think that he's going to, you know, improve a lot as the season goes on. And I think game one, game two, I mean, we'll see improvement from those guys. I would hope, I would think, but again, you know, you had an elite offensive line last year that, you know, is retooling a little bit.
Yeah. We're going to have to wait and see how they come together, but hey, look, all in all, we're picking nits here, you know. I mean, these guys put up 56 points. I think it was really credible against your, you know, you'd say your B opponent, but this is going to be a very strong B opponent. Let's get into that defense, man. So again, big picture, they gave up 19-6 right off the back, right? A quick touchdown, two field goals and a touchdown in the third, and completely shut out Boise State in the fourth. 264 yards in the air, 138 on the ground, two picks. Held Talon Green to a 42 QBR, just a single sack and three TFLs. Let's talk about this. Okay, so Mitch, look, this was the biggest concern area. We were all terrified of this secondary coming in from what we saw last year. What'd you see out of this secondary?
Yeah, I mean, I think you mentioned it earlier, BT. I felt like they held their own. I thought they played pretty darn well. Asa Turner, you know, gets a lot of heat at times from Husky fans. Had five tackles, four solo, two tackles for loss. He really looked good, I thought, in space. Came up, had some really nice plays. And then I thought the corners hung in there really well.
He was Asa Turner. The only thing I was going to say about Asa Turner, his snap count was 60. He was there the whole game. I mean, and I don't know if that's like, are they worried that much about the depth behind him, or is he just the block who's like calling out with that defense? But I mean,
probably both.
Yeah, I mean, he was out there the entire game.
He really seemed to me that he took a step forward played like the guy that we were hoping we signed and took away from Notre Dame, you know, all those years ago. I thought the corners played well, right? They had some plays. Yeah, there were a couple, you know, penalties on some plays and stuff, but it didn't feel like last year, especially mid to late last year, where dudes were just busted open, wide open coverage. We'll see what happens. It's early, but I was super pleasantly surprised with the play. And then I thought the linebackers, which we'll get to in a second, really balled out, were exceptional. The secondary wasn't the concern for me on Saturday. It was more the D-line, quite frankly, which we'll probably speak to in a few minutes here.
I thought Davon Banks, to me, was probably the star of that group. And coming into it, I mean, we have him as third, right? We thought he was going to be your third option mm-hmm. out there, and he probably had the best game.
Four pass breakups, most would have been most in any game last season as well.
Yeah.
Four. And then Jabbar Muhammad, he flashed at times too. I thought he played pretty well. So it looks like they have some depth this year too. I also noticed they were really rotating some guys around. So like if they keep that up, hopefully, you know, this is a little stronger of a secondary than we had last year. And quite frankly, if we have Penix playing like he is with all these receivers, they don't have to be an elite defense, right? They just need to take a little step forward. And, you know, quite frankly, that'll be enough, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Couple of three and outs, give Penix time to cook. I agree. It was interesting to see. Hey, let's move forward from that secondary and up to the front. Lodog, talk to me about that linebacker core.
Yeah, to Mitch's point, I think, we saw a lot of guys who look pretty good. And I'm looking at the box score here. 21 guys got credited with a tackle. And then there's Mish Powell, who didn't have a tackle, but had. So that's 22 guys out there that are in your box score. So they are definitely, you know, mixing it up. And about 20 of the tackles that were credited went to the linebackers. So they were all over making plays, but they were just spreading the love around. Carson Bruner had a few. Tupitala had a few. Raylan Goforth had four tackles. And then Ulufoshio kind of, you know, he had that sack, maybe looked the best of those guys. And we said that was probably going to be likely, right, going forward. But then you look at Boise State's box score. Averaging 5 yards a carry most of the game. So, I mean, the run game and the run support, you know, that's going to need some work. I thought definitely you can't get too upset by when you're winning by nearly 40 points out there, but definitely some things that we could see improvement on.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. It was nice to see a lot of guys get play. Raylan Goforth played a lot more than I would have thought he would have. So it was nice to see some of the newer guys get in there. If we look at this, let's look at the D line and the edges. One thing I thought was great. They forced Tavon Green to throw the ball. Right. And that's what we want. They hold Boise State to 135 on the ground. And this has been, you know, a Boise State that ran the ball really well in the last couple of years. And some of that could be because they're playing from behind. Well, you know, one thing I thought that was interesting is we saw Fatui Taylor didn't play. Right. Mm. And word on the street from that is that he could have played if he had to. That's all they're saying. So, right. Probably something a little dinged up, you know, if we don't
see him till week three.
That could be. We don't see him till week three at Michigan State. And that's fine. I thought MJ Ale, Thule Bandis, they looked fine. Javon Parker really flashed with that pure power. On the edge side, Braylon Trice, Voit Tanufi, they sealed lanes and applied pressure really well. Saw a lot more of Sakaia Foa than I thought we would have. You know, he played a ton of snaps. The biggest thing I think we can say about this is that they really contained a running quarterback. And think about last year, how many times we couldn't do that. And this year coming up, Caleb Williams, Jaden Delora. I mean, keep going down the list. DJ, right? Bo Nix can run a little bit. If they can contain a running quarterback and just at least get some amount of pressure, I'm happy with it. Having said that, look, one pressure between ZTF and Trice. One pressure. No sacks. No QB hits. And it's wild because in a lot of plays, they're sent in the house. You know, look at like when Boise State was in 3rd and 10, and they were in 3rd and 10 a lot, you know, they ended up with like four edges. So they'd have like Voyan Sakai hands down, Tupitala line, he's at the line of scrimmage. And then like on the other field side, you'd have Trice and ZTF playing like the pure edge role. So they're sent in the house, right? But then still kind of not get that level. So I love, you know, maybe the design there is just get contained, get a little bit of pressure, but, you know, not, you just want that payoff, right? You want that payoff of that sack, that quarterback hit, you know, something there that we didn't see. Again, look, I'm picking nits here. I was, you know, we had high expectations for this edge play and for the line. And I think, week one might, maybe it was on that side.
I'm as equally concerned about the running game as I am about opposing teams being able to run the ball. Honestly, like I felt like they could run the ball. They really could. Boise State really could run it. And you know, we had issues, at the line. So it's going to be something to watch for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a few of like, just to be, you know, not like it's everything, but sub 30 tackling PFF scores, Voit Tanufi, Elijah Jackson, Javon Parker, we don't want to see that from a tackling perspective. So really good pressure. You know, Javon Parker was our highest rated on pass rush.
But then, I would expect more from Tanufi. He had kind of a nice breakout, last year, and I thought had kind of high hopes for him. You know, we'll see. Boise State returned four. offensive lineman from their team a year ago, essentially, or, you know, and so, you know, it's probably not the worst offensive line we're going to play. But I mean, it, against a team like Oregon State or Utah, really good up front, you know, if we're not getting pressure, it's going to be a long day.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Now, I have to take a step back. This kind of cracks me up because this is like, look where the dog pot is, where if you were to if you were to take a clip of this and send it back in a time machine after like the loss to Montana, you'd be like, tell these a-holes to shut up, man. We just beat Boise State and put up 56 on this damn team. But I hear you. Like, with the expectations that this team has, these are things that you absolutely have to get cleaned up and maybe didn't show themselves on the scoreboard.
I think that's exactly right, BT. I mean, you know, our expectations going into a year kind of define and frame what we're looking at, right? And if if we're talking about winning the Pac-12 and the CFP and all that, I mean, I you know, it'd be nice, but I'm not, you know, hanging my hat on that, but I just want to win this Pac-12. And to do that, we're going to need to win a lot of games. And if we play as we did on Saturday, you know, this team isn't like the teams in 2016 or the early 90s where there just wasn't like clear weaknesses. This team has clear weaknesses. And so to overcome that, we need to be elite through the air. And that's what we are. And that's what won us 11 games last year. But there's work to do.
There's definitely work to do. Some highlights, though, I'll just call these out before we finish on the defense. Carson Bruner. I thought he was our highest rated PFF on the defense. I mean, great.
Had the pick too. Forgot to mention it.
Yep, that's right. Carson Bruner, I thought, had the pick. Javon Parker, again, best against the edge in the rush. Davon Banks, we talked about him having the great game. Cam Fab with the pick. And Cam Fab was one, like, thinking back to the UCLA game last year that a lot of people had, you know, were negative on. I thought he really, you know, had a decent game. Thule Asa was in there, the heart of the defense. And so, you know, that piece of it, I think, was really nice to see. One bright spot, let's transition a little bit. How about the special teams, man? I liked seeing that.
Well, they look pretty good out there. I mean, this was kind of a huge unknown coming into the year, right? Jeremy Bernard kind of kicks off the game with that big return. So that's something we were looking for, right? We wanted that explosiveness. And, you know, we didn't get to see a lot of Grady Gross out there, but he was definitely taking the kick. So eight extra points for you. And then Jackie McAllister, you know, had kind of a boring season last year, but got out there with five punts, averaging 40 yards. So, yeah, I thought it was a lot better than I think what I was expecting going into the season. And that's the type of thing where you tighten up that area of your game, you know, you can afford to have a couple of, you know, misses here and there on other aspects of your game, because it's just really important to get those big swings.
Well, yeah, the run back by Jack Westover, it had me thinking after. I was like, gosh, when was the last time that they've been kicking to the up man? And it's been a long time because we haven't done much in the return game. And I wonder if we can continue to do that. Like, boy, Westover Westy, and the rest Westy of those. Westy and a bunch of those big dudes up front, get ready, because they might be coming to you as the up man. And look, if that's going to put you usually around the 35 or the 40, we'll take that all day.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was nice to really not be talking about the special teams at all. And if that's the case for the rest of the year, fantastic, right? With the way that the other two units can play. So, I mean, I think we are all kind of, to your point, Law Dog, holding our breath a little bit, hoping this wasn't a liability. And so far, so good. Knock on wood, right?
Yeah, I think you're going to find out when this team hits the road, right? You know, gets playing on grass, those types of things. But we'll see.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Shows up in the desert. All those things have been trouble for us in the past. Hey, look, so all in all, it was just, what a beautiful day at Husky Stadium. You know, I mean, 75, 80 degrees. I'll say it was my first time doing the sailgating from the east side over. And that was, it was nice to see, get to get on, you know, experience the whole water taxi and do that thing. Great, you know, good tailgating experience. Good to see a really loud Husky Stadium. You know, and again, class isn't in session, so you're not going to get the full student section. But this was one where I'm sure everyone saw they were selling tickets into the student section. So it's like probably some double dipping of ticket sales a little bit. But that student section was full. It was loud. A great, great kickoff to the 2023 season. So our next opponent's going to be Tulsa, and we're going to get into that. But first, before we start, we got to look backwards a little bit. This was a historic week in the swan song of the Pac-12, where none of us saw this. and you look at our predictions, none of us saw us going undefeated and going this last weekend 11-1 against the spread as a conference. Let's get into this a little bit. So just looking backwards, last Sunday, Oregon State at San Jose State. You know, I want to do this. I'm going to go by future conference. Normally we go north and south. That thing's dead. Let's give some props to the real Pac-12. The Pac-12 sticking two. With it.
The Pac-2. Pac-2.
The real Pac-2. So the real Pac-2 conference. Let's start with those guys. How about Oregon State? Last Sunday, it was Oregon State at San Jose State. Beavers 16.5. You know, funny to watch that game if you saw, like, the stadium. You're like, it's somewhere between a high school stadium. And it was not that big of a stadium, but crazy to see. We liked a much closer game, and boy, were we wrong. Beavers would win and cover 42-17 to kick off the era, the DJ era there. Unreal. So now let's talk about this week. Oregon State comes home for a 6 p.m. game against UC Davis. There's not going to be any line on this thing. I expect these guys to absolutely dominate. Here's the question that I have for you guys, Mitch and Law Dog. Over-under the season for Oregon State was 8. You going above, you going below, or you think they got the number right?
I think they're going over. Honestly, I think they're super balanced. I really liked it. I watched almost that whole game against San Jose State. San Jose State played well against USC the week before. And Oregon State really dominated them to a much greater degree than USC did in their place in San Jose State. I think Oregon State's for real, you guys. I think they're going to go over. They're going to trip up. I like 9 games for them to be able to win. I think that's within a striking distance for them. Honestly, they looked solid. They looked super balanced, very, very balanced on both sides of the ball.
I mean, tough to argue. If you asked me a week ago, I probably would have said they got the number right. I'll stick with that. I think that they had some big losses on their defense that carried them last year. Uagalele definitely, you know, looks a lot better, but you see why, you know, he didn't pan out as well at Clemson, right? There are some inaccuracy issues and stuff like that. I think they'll have better quarterback play, but they're also going to have a little bit of a step back on D. And so I think I'll take 8. I think everyone's a little bit out in front on Oregon State. I'm not ready to totally go all in on them, but I mean, I respect it.
And looking at watching that a little bit of that the Duke game this week, and Clemson may have also been the reason that DJ didn't play out as well. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. Wouldn't it be amazing to go into Las Vegas and be able to bet the over under after seeing week one, which is what we're doing right here? A little bit of cheating, but hey, I'm going 9. I say home losses to Utah, home losses to UW, and a road loss to Oregon. That gets them to 9 wins, and I think that's where they end up. Next one, let's talk about the rest of the Pac-2. Last week it was Wazoo -10.5 at Colorado State. Again, we liked a closer game, and boy, were we wrong again. Wazoo 50-24 over the old Lamb Chops. This week, they want revenge. The Badgers want revenge for that 17-14 loss last year. 4:30 on ABC. It's number 19 Wisconsin Badgers coming off a win over Buffalo. Not that Buffalo, a different Buffalo. Heading into Pullman, Badgers favored by 6. How say you?
I'm all in on Wisconsin. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm all in on the Badgers as well. I think they're going to roll. Colorado State is not a very good football team. And you know, the Cougs did what they needed to do, with their future, potential conference foe. And quite frankly, I think Wisconsin is not gonna sleep a minute on this one and are out for revenge. I think I like the Badgers big.
I'll take the Badgers big again. I would love to be the contrarian, but this one is a tough one. This is not last year's Wisconsin team. I think they're in a much better place. So now here you go. Wazoo's over under on the season was 6.5 wins. I'll say you guys.
I'm taking the under. I think you've got a top heavy Pac-12, right? And you guys just said the Beavers are going to beat them, you know, with ease. So what about Utah, Washington? You know, I'm seeing, Oregon State coming up on September 23rd. We'll learn a lot. They're at Oregon. I mean, yeah, I think 6.5 is generous. I'm going to take the under on the Cougs.
Yeah, I don't think you're far off, Law Dog. I'll go that way too.
I think they miss a bowl game. I think they have 5 wins in them. They've got home losses to Wisconsin, Oregon State, Arizona, and CU, and road losses at UCLA, Oregon, and ASU. I'm going under. Sorry about that, Cougs. All right, should we talk a little ACC football?
ACC is my favorite conference.
How about ACC? You know. How about a little ACC football? It's it was last week. It was Cal minus 6.5 at North Texas. And look, this was one where I hate to say it. We like North Texas for the most part. Mitch, you took Cal though. Mitch, you got this one. Law Dog and I got this one wrong. North Texas, it was all Cal, 58-21 in a road game at North Texas. Wow.
Mitch, you should have put more chips in the middle because I would have given you my house on this one.
Yeah, I really thought this one was a bad look. And like, why are they playing this game? This week, hey, how about this? Here's a big one. They're hosting the Auburn Tigers 7:30 on ESPN. Auburn, just a 6.5 point favorite.
Yikes.
Yeah, I don't know. This feels like a trap. I'm going to go Auburn on this one. I really like Cal last week just because like they weren't getting very much respect, and it's still a Power Five team. My favorite part about this whole thing was Gumby Bear, one of our old callers, was settling down to watch the LSU Florida State game and texted me and said, "Can't wait to watch one of our old time Cal rivals, Florida State, kick off against our in their big game." Which had me just dying laughing with all this realignment stuff. Yeah, I think I got to go Auburn here on this particular one.
This one's tough because this is supposed to be a down Auburn year, finishing the bottom two of the SEC West.
I still think up front, Cal's going to struggle, and I think they'll struggle in this game in particular. Although, man, a week ago I would have bet my other house on this on the Tigers here. So Mitch would have all my real property if he had. But I think Cal's looking better than I thought for sure. But I'm still taking Auburn here.
Yeah, it's 6.5. Give me Auburn. I think it's at least a touchdown. If it was up in the teens, okay, talk to me later. Over under on Cal is 5 on the season.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take the under. Back to our point, the Law Dog's point earlier. I agree. I think it's a top mid to top heavy conference this year. I think it's gonna be really hard for Cal to crack that. I mean, look at Colorado, what they're doing. That matchup is going to be much tougher for them. Look at the direction Arizona is going. I think Arizona is going to take a step forward, in that middle tier of teams. So I just think it's going to be tough for Cal.
They got 5 road games, UW, Utah, Oregon, UCLA, and Stanford. I mean, tell me which one of those they're going to win.
Stanford, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. So I think 5 would be fortunate for the Bears. I mean, they got one in North Texas here. They'll have Idaho next week. They will have Oregon State at home, but SC at home. It's a brutal schedule. I don't want no part of that 5. I'm taking the under.
I think the only way they get to 4 wins is going to come down to big game. They got home losses to Auburn, Oregon State, SC, and road losses at UW, Utah, Oregon, UCLA. And then it's all going to come down to that big game just to even get to 4, let alone 5. Let's talk about the other side of the big game. The greatest stare down in the history of college football, Stanford. -3 at Hawaii on a Friday night. We all liked Hawaii. Look, it's tough to play in Hawaii. It's tough to fly out there. Sensing a theme here, we were all wrong. It was 37-24 Cardinal. This week, they travel to the Coliseum. We're going to talk about that in a little bit when we get to SC. But let's talk about this first of all. Stanford, this is one of the lower ones on the books. They had their over-under wins versus 3.
Yikes. I think I kind of want the over there. It might not be a lot over, but you gotta remember, they got SC. They also got Notre Dame out of conference. But Sacramento State next week. And it looks like they miss... Well, they don't miss. They only miss Colorado. I mean, that's kind of a good miss. But three is that's too low. Got to take the over.
It's gonna be close. I'm gonna push.
I think it's gonna come down to big game again as a push. The only other win I could find in this schedule for this team is Sac State. And I think ultimately, if they can wrestle up a win somehow to not go over in conference, maybe in big game, that gets them to it. Look, they showed a little bit of moxie in Hawaii, but this team, I think, is going to be a mess this year. Should we talk a little Big 12 football?
Love the Big 12.
Let's stop. Love the Big 12. Okay, so last week, Arizona, no line, but they won big 38-3 over Northern Arizona. This week, they travel to Starkville, Mississippi for the back half of that home-and-home with the Bulldogs. Last year, the Pirate took them to them, 39-17 in Tucson. This year, it's a completely different offense, but the Bullies are favored by 9.
Yeah, yikes. I mean, on the road in the SEC, I know that Arizona's taken a step forward. I think that's another team like Oregon State. I think the hype has maybe gotten a little ahead of where they might be. So I'm not going there yet. I'm taking Mississippi State.
Yeah, I just think at home, it's a tall task, I think, to ask that team to go in there and take care of that business. I'm going to go Mississippi State as well.
Give me the other side of this. I like Arizona to cover this, and I think there's a good chance that they win this game. Nice. I think this is going to be a real tough year for Mississippi State, going to a completely different offense and one that recruited and was built by the Pirate to do what he does, and you're trying to get a lot of players, and they picked up some in the portal, but I think this is going to be a Mississippi State team that's like back in the old days that finishes on, you know, the finishes in the bottom, the bottom two of the SEC. And I think Zona's got a real good chance to go in and steal one here. So put me on the board for the other side of that. Arizona over under was 5 on the season. They got the one under their belt, and they find another 5 to get over that.
They also have the 5 road games.
I think they will. I think they're going to find it some way. I think this is the team that's going to trip some folks up, and I don't know who, but like I think they're going to, you know, the Territorial Cup, isn't that what they call their rivalry? I think they're going to pull that off this year, and they're going to find another couple wins in there to get the over this year.
I'm with Mitch on that. I'm with you. I think they get a good chance of beating Mississippi State, Stanford, ASU on the road, and some home wins against UTEP. And maybe I think they maybe could pull off UCLA. They're going to get somebody on the road. I hope it's not us. I think it might be UCLA. That gets them 6 wins right there.
They had a schedule like we used to have, where you had a few easy games and then you just go murders row. I mean, they're going to go UW at SC, then they go to the Cougs, but then it's Oregon State, UCLA at Colorado, Utah. I mean, it's a tough stretch in the middle there. I'm taking the under just because I like disagreeing with you guys.
Okay, there we go. Put it on the board. We're going to see. Hey, last week on Thursday night, the opener, ASU at home against Southern Utah, delayed by a sandstorm. It was Tatooine out there. Game delayed. Look, this reminded me of that old freaking stupid game against Cal going into the middle of the damn night.
Me too.
Sun Devils were favored by 32. We all liked Southern Utah to cover, and boy, did they. They sneaked this one out, did the Sun Devils 24-21 in the wee hours of the morn. This week, it's a nice little welcome from the Big 12. 7:30, they host the old Cowpokes of Oklahoma State, who eked out a 27-13 win against Arkansas. Not that Arkansas, Central Arkansas. Okie State favored by just 3.
Give me the Bullies. I don't want anything to do with ASU.
I agree. I think it's going to be a tough year for ASU. There's just like, it's too much to ask of Kenny Dillingham. And now, you know, initially they did that us against the world kind of thing, rally cry when they announced the bowl ban. I think the wheels are going to come off of this one real fast.
Yeah, this team's in trouble. It's 5 wins over under. I mean, fair to say we're all going under on this?
Under 100%. Yeah.
I mean, we said that a year ago with Herm. We've been kind of snickering at them since they hired Herm, but then they go ahead and beat us last year. But I mean, they have a brutal lineup in the schedule. And I mean, I don't even know that I like them at home against Fresno State next week.
Yeah.
Fresno State's a tough one. I think they may get that win. And they've got one last week, and maybe they're going to pick off somebody. Maybe they'll get Wazoo in a home game, to get to 3 wins, but I don't think they're getting that 5. Oh, wow. Okay. Let's keep going with the future Big 12. Here you go. This was the big one, everybody. It was CU against TCU, who played in the championship last year. Horned Frogs favored by 20.5. Law Dog. Look at Log and I like the Buffs to cover this one. Mitch, ye of little faith, you took TCU. Buffs would cover and win one of the bigger upsets in recent history, 45-42 CU. What a freaking game. I mean, that's what everyone's talking about in sports. This week, it's hate week. Nebraska coming to town. Now ranked number 22, CU, hosting Nebraska, who lost, what was it, 2-3, some soccer story against Minnesota. Buffs favored by 3 in this bitter rivalry. How say you?
Ask me a week ago, and I would have said Colorado's going to win 3-4 games at most. I think they came out, and this is the biggest one where I, after seeing it in week one, I think you got to give them some respect. At the very least, they're just going to be able to play with anybody. Nebraska, reeling, new coach in town. They got them at home. I kind of like them this week. Even though they're covering 3 at home, I wish I had some points to lay there, but I'm going to take the Buffs.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's at home. That helps. And they've got some big-time momentum going.
It's going to be an electric home opener for them.
Oh, boy. Oh. It's gonna be big-time. That fan base is going to be really, really fired up. I watched a little bit of the Nebraska-Minnesota game, and, gosh, just was not impressed. Pretty sloppy play on the Nebraska part. You know, the way they scored were some kind of fluke plays. Yeah, I'm on the Buffs on this one as well.
I'm with you, Mitch. Look, you forget that Colorado never established a real Pac-12 rival. Nothing like when they came to, you know, when Nebraska came to town for those games. Mm-hmm. This one's going to be loud. It's going to be intense. Give me the Buffs in this. So here you go. I mean, look, I think we can all say, I don't have to go through this. Look, Colorado's over-under was 3.
Yeah.
If you got that, good God. I think it might be, you know, it's probably, they're bowl bound, in my opinion. Just from what we saw, it's 7. I think they beat Nebraska. They got Colorado State, Stanford. Maybe, look, they have Arizona at home. It should be a decent game. They've got some teams like ASU on the road, Wazoo on the road. But look, some tough, you know, SC, UCLA, Oregon State, Utah. I think they're probably bowl bound with like a 7-win team, but it's above 3. That's for sure.
Yep.
Yep. Agreed.
All right. So, hey, last one, rounding out the future Big 12. It was a great Thursday night game, kicking it off. Florida State visiting Salt Lake City. Utes were favored by 6. Mitch and I like the Utes. Law Dog, how dare you take the Gators? My goodness, man. It was a comfortable 24-11 win without Cam Rising. Boy, I thought a decent and nice one to put on the board for the old Utah Nation. This week, it's 9 a.m. on ESPN. It's number 12 now, Utah, traveling to Baylor. Baylor, who's coming off a loss to Texas State. Texas State, otherwise known as the fictitious TMU University from Friday Night Lights, where Smash Williams went to play football. That is literally all I know about Texas State. Utah, the 8-point favorite to Baylor. How say you?
You know, I think Utah's going to win this game, but I think it's going to be tight. So I'm going to take Baylor with the points just on the spread. But I think Utah's going to win. I bet you they win by a field goal, maybe 2 field goals. But Cam Rising, probably going to come back. That's what it's looking like. His backups play well, I thought, against Florida. They're just balanced. They're a well-coached team. They're gonna win this one, but I think Baylor's going to bounce back. They're probably not going to play as bad poorly as they did against the fictitious Friday Night Lights team.
Yeah, Whittingham and Utah, they've had some – honestly, they have not been great on the road, for being honest. And sure. So I think this is going to be a tough one. 8 is right where I would have put it. I could go either way. I'll just take the Utes here. I think I'll just learn the lesson, you know, that I didn't learn apparently the last 2 seasons when they won the conference, and I'll take them. They also had a couple extra days to prepare for this one. So I'm going to take the Utes.
Yeah, give me Utah by 10, maybe by 12. You're right. I mean, look, the Florida loss last year by the end of the season looked really bad. You know, that was not a good Florida team, and that was a tough one on the road. But this one, give me these guys all day. Hey, should we talk a little Big Ten football?
Love the Big Ten.
How about those creeps down in Eugene? They beat up on lowly Portland State. No line because they shouldn't have played in the damn first place, but they won 81-7. Good for you guys. Way to go. This week, 4 p.m. on Fox, it's number 13 Oregon at Texas Tech. The Raiders, part of that disastrous Big 12 opening weekend, losing 35-32 at Wyoming. So what do you say? The turds from Eugene, they're favored by 6.5. 6.5 travel into Texas Tech.
Oh, I'm going to get on the Ducks on this one.
All on the Ducks.
Yeah, I think they're gonna go in there and they've got a new head coach with a new swagger about them. I think they're a very different team. I think they can play well on the road. I think they're gonna go in and take it to Texas Tech.
Yeah, I'm dusting off the mybookie.com account to try to get some money on the Ducks this weekend. I think that's a silly line. And just while we're on the topic, the Big 12, I think the Big 12 has just established itself as a huge joke, honestly. I mean, just with all the talk that they have coming out of their mouths and their keyboards over the last 15 months, and then they come out and look like absolute piss on week one of the season. And here they have week two where they could get, they could swirl, do another swirl around the toilet before it's all over. And I mean, you're most of the way through the non-conference after this weekend. And if the Pac-12 has another weekend like it had, and the Big 12 has another weekend like it had, I think we would be talking about, why are they going to be in the Power Four and the Pac-12 is not going to exist anymore? So I think we should take a shot at them while they're down because, frankly, they deserve it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I would agree. Disastrous week for them. This line surprises me. I don't know if you know if you can still get that line. Over-under wins on the season, Oregon, 9.5.
I'm selling on the 9.5. I think it's going to be too tough. I think it's going to be too tough for them to hit 10. They got to come to Washington. And Oregon State game is going to be brutal. They got to go to Utah where they've just played so badly. They do have SC at home, which will be a really good, but I mean, just, there's just those four games. I mean, you're not going to win three of them.
Agreed. Yeah. And quite frankly, they're a little thin. If Bo Nix goes down again, they're not the same team.
They've had some losses. I think that number is about right. I hate to say this. I think they may get the win. If I had to put the map aside, I'd say 10 road losses to UW, but they get those SC and Oregon State wins in Eugene. I think 10 is probably the right number. Let's keep going with this. How about UCLA, man? UCLA hosted Coastal Carolina. It was a 14.5 favorite. We all liked UCLA. The only team in the pack that didn't cover, and they almost did by half. Look, I mean, this was nuts. 27-14 Bruins. This week, they travel to San Diego State. I don't know why, but they do. 4:30 on CBS. San Diego State had the week zero game with Ohio U. So they've squeaked out two wins already, and they got a little bit of experience. Bruins by 14.5 on the road in San Diego.
I like San Diego State on this one, guys. Like, maybe not an outright win, but I'll take the points.
Am I the only one that picked the Bruins against Coastal Carolina? Because I feel like as much as I wanted to say that Oregon State was overrated coming in this season, like the fact that UCLA was ranked in the top 25 is comical to me. I think that they are comically overrated. And I can't believe I did take them in that Coastal Carolina game. So give me a chance to atone for my mistakes. I'm on the Aztecs, even though it's going to be like half a UCLA crowd in there. Give me the Aztecs.
I don't think you can muster up half a UCLA crowd. Total. There isn't half a UCLA crowd in Pasadena. That's the only under that I will take in this bet.
They have to drive just as far to get to the Rose Bowl as they will to go to San Diego for Pasadena. Yeah.
And they'll be using the same damn excuses. UCLA 8.5 is the over under on the season.
I'm going under. I mean, look at this. Sure, they've got North Carolina Central, NC Central coming up, but they're at Utah, at Oregon State. They got Colorado at home, at SC, boy, at Arizona. I'm going under.
Yeah, I want the under as well. I just think, you know, Ethan Garbers, did he get the start?
Didn't get the finish though.
Yeah, he got benched. I mean, I think UCLA is going to be tough. DTR doesn't get enough credit for what he did for them last year.
It's a win or two a year.
Yeah.
And I mean, they also lost Charbonnet. I mean, they are dealing with some big losses. Chip has not been recruiting that well. Now, granted, they've been, you know, cleaning up in the transfer portal, but I give me the under on UCLA.
Yeah, give me the under that was. Well, I see losses at Utah, Oregon State, and SC on the road against Arizona. There's a handful of losses that they're going to see in that thing. All right. So the other side of the town, the men of Troy and their second tune-up. They're giving 38 to Nevada. I like the USC. Law Dog liked Nevada. 66-14 and a route USC would cover that giant line. This week, the Pac-12 conference opener, 7:30 on Fox. It's USC hosting Stanford. Stanford with a long trip home from Hawaii this week. Trojans favored by 29.
Yikes, that is tough in a conference game like this. I got to take Stanford just with those points, but you got to like USC and how they're looking so far.
I think SC might cover. I'm going to go SC. It's a conference game, but oh my gosh, they look legit. They're for realsies. Yeah, I'm going to take USC to cover.
I can't believe I'm saying this as well, but if I'm talking about a Stanford team that I think maybe only gets one win in conference or potentially zero versus this USC team, I think they're going to be able to cover that one, especially coming off of Hawaii. Over under wins, USC was 9.5.
On the over.
Yeah, they're really good, you guys.
Yep. I hate to say this. I think this is a one loss team. I think they've got 11 in them. This is going to be tough. Here we go. So the real game, the one that counts, we talked about it. UW was the 14-point favorite last week. I can't believe it. I took Boise. I thought it would be 10, maybe 12. Boy, was I wrong. Law Dog and Mitch, you got it. 56-19. I'm embarrassed by myself. This is just brutal. What was I thinking, man? This week, 2 p.m. on Pac-12 Networks, we talked about it, but it's Tulsa coming off a 42-7 win over Arkansas. Not that Arkansas. Arkansas Pine Bluff. The Dogs favored by 34. Over under 65. Caesars wants this thing. 50-14. How say you, fellas?
I like the over on the game. And I'll take the over on the Huskies too.
I gotta say, I think if they have a week to try to get this run game going, it's this week. And I think we're gonna see. I don't think we're gonna see Michael Penix throw the ball 40 times. Now maybe we will. Maybe DeBoer and Grubb just revert. It's kind of like you're playing video games and you just start chucking the ball because they've got this great tool in their tool belt. So it's possible. But I do think that they're going to try as much as they can to get some semblance of a run game going this week. So I think that they'll be off the gas pedal a little bit. And I'm going to have to say, I think Tulsa on that huge line might be a savvy play. I won't bet it myself, but that'd be my take.
Yeah, I think you're right. If they try to establish the run, that's going to slow the game down a little bit. That's the only shot that they have. Otherwise, I like this thing. And if I got to put $100, I'm going to put it on the Dogs to cover that 34 line. Now, the last question of the night. Here you go. Washington over under on the season was 9. We've seen one game, so we have this advantage. Over under 9 wins.
Taking the over.
Yeah, I'm kind of a little bitter that Oregon gets the 9.5 and you get to kind of pick one or the other. I think Huskies kind of deserve a 9.5. I think I will also take the over. I just think that I don't think we're going to be seeing them drop a game like they did last year against ASU in particular, where they just were, they didn't have the depth and they just didn't have the dudes. I think that they're going to make it through relatively unscathed. I'm worried about the bigger games, and we have that brutal stretch in November with Oregon State, and SC. So I am going to take the over on 9.
What I saw against Boise State to me wasn't an undefeated team, but it's also not a 3-loss team. Give me the over.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. There's one more thing I'll say on that, Law Dog, is I like the focus of the team leaders this year too. I think they're holding people accountable. They're more dialed into each one of these games. I think this is a 1-loss, 2-loss max team. God, and just the one that I just keep getting nervous about is I keep circling at Corvallis. I just, we talked a little bit earlier about it. It's in that middle of that beginning of that murderer's row stretch. That's the one that just really makes me nervous that I keep looking at.
Yeah, I got to say look, all those games in November are going to be tough. I mean, at Apple Cup, we're going to have our hands full with the Cougs as well. And that's the fourth game out of there. But we also have the 5-4 split on the schedule. We played all of these teams really, really tough last year, except for Arizona State. And of course, we didn't play SC in Utah. So I think the SC on the road, that's the one I look at and just think that's the one circled on my calendar. Everything else, I think we're going to be in the mix.
Man, it is going to be a fun year. We're going to have a blast. Final thoughts as we wrap this episode up, and we look forward to a big Tulsa game.
Nope. Touchdown, Washington.
Yep. Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Los perros esquimales están arriba. Y hoy, los patos de Oregón bow down to Washington.